Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and you know who I just had to have come with me.
Who was that, Carolyn?
My friend Richard.
Hi, everyone.
Well.
And good evening to you, Carolyn.
Good evening, Richard. Long time no see.
It's been a while, but there you go.
Well, folks, tonight we're going to have an extremely interesting show, I feel. There, let me tell you a little bit as to how we get the guests to come and be on the show. Sometimes people in our audience request certain individuals, and we'll ask them if they are willing to come. And sometimes I'll be reading something in history that I feel is of particular interest. Mr. Tesla was one who I thought his work was just so intriguing. We had him on the show one night, and it was just fascinating, the information he gave us. And then sometimes we have individuals come to us and ask to be on the show. And that is what happened tonight. Isis and Mary Magdalene wanted to be on the show. Now, whoever could say no to a combination like that? And what's so fascinating about these two ladies is so many of the gifts. Well, first of all, they have a very, so many different facets of their work, of their personality, and they hold gifts in common with one another, you might say. And they wanted to do an arrangement here that's rather unusual. They have asked both Richard and I. Well, usually the format is Richard channels the individual, and then I ask the questions, and we bring in the audience, and we have a fun time with it. But tonight, they want the two of us to channel each one of them because we have different methods in the way that we channel, different energies, I guess you might say emotions even. And they're trying to bring out some interesting information about the two of them, and I suppose what's going on in today's world. So, without further ado, I love that. What do we do with a further ado? Everybody says that. What does it mean, Richard?
I'll let you play with that, Carolyn. You can kind of twirl that around your tongue for a good half an hour, I should think.
Do a little stand-up on it, huh?
I reckon.
Well,
the audience hasn't heard your stand-up routines. I tell you, they're really missing something.
Well, you know, this is kind of a serious show. It's kind
of
hard.
Well, of course it is. Yes.
It's kind of hard to do some stand-up and have some fun on a really serious show like this.
Yes. We take it seriously all the time.
Well, indeed. Anyway. My dear Isis wishes to come first, and actually she does a lot of work with us, what she's doing right now. Richard, why don't you explain a little bit about what Isis does when you have a soul healing session?
Yes, Isis does two things. I speak with her before the session and just clarify some key items in relation to the individual that I'll be working with. And secondly, she is one of those that usually comes forth with a message for the individual on the call about, in particular, about their past lives. So we work quite closely with Isis.
Thank you. So Isis wished to go first, and she wants Richard to go first with working with her, and then she will turn the mic over to me, so to speak. So, Richard, without further ado.
Well, that was a further ado, really, but there you go.
Okie dokie.
That's...
Before you get into that and you call her, I want, if you would, to first give a little bit of her sense of vibration so people in the audience can pick up... on what she is like.
By all means. Yes, I, as I indicated, I work with Isis quite a deal, and so I'm quite familiar with her energy, and she is without question feminine. However, there is tremendous power in her energy. She really does carry quite a lot of power. And there are some times when she comes in during a soul healing session where the power that she comes in with is quite tremendous. So, yes, she is feminine, but there is this very, very powerful energy that she carries. No half measures with Isis when it comes to power. And if one looks at some of the things that she did whilst she was on Earth, perhaps that's no great surprise. She describes herself as the mother of all healing and indeed has been responsible for bringing lots of important things to the planet in the early times. So there is, as I say, this beautiful feminine character and yet this power that goes with that. It's quite unique.
Thank you, Richard.
And so I call forth Isis, and she's here. And let's see what she wishes to say. She is saying, "It is a great joy to join the two of you on this show once more. It has been quite a while since I joined you on this program, and particularly wonderful to be here with Mary Magdalene. We were keen to make some connections that humanity is, to my knowledge, unaware of at this time. And that is the connections between what I was doing on Earth, particularly at the time of my Egyptian sojourn, because I was also here during Atlantis and before, and also what was happening in the time that Mary Magdalene was present upon the planet. There is a deep connection between us in the sense that we are both aspects of Allura, the High Cherubim Angel. And so in that sense, we have what you might call a deep soul connection. We are indeed aspects of the same soul. And so we share that in common. But more than that, the time when I came forth in Egypt was one of the attempts to bring forth a golden age. And that attempt, like every attempt up to this time, was thwarted by the dark. You may recall that I had a husband by the name of Osiris, and there is much myth and legend about what happened in that time, and I will simply say that we were husband and wife, you might say, just as Yeshua and Mary Magdalene were husband and wife. And I had a son whose name was Horus. And I will mention that Horus was an aspect of that great being known as Marietta, just as Yeshua was an aspect of Marietta. And so there were great parallels between what was happening in that time, an attempt to bring forth a golden age, and the time when Mary Magdalene was present upon the planet, which was, in a sense, another attempt. And this perhaps is not recognized in regard to that time when Yeshua and Mary Magdalene were working together. Because, yes, it was a time of preparation for 2012, which has been spoken of, but also it was one of the attempts to bring forth a golden age upon planet Earth, and was thwarted, as you know, by those who wished to shut down the, you could say, public mission of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And so similar attempts were made back in my time. You will be aware that Osiris was murdered and his body scattered to many places. And I collected those parts of his body and put them back together and brought him back to life. And I mention that only because it is an example of the way that the dark was interfering in my time, just as it interfered in the time of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, and indeed how they have been working very hard to prevent this mission coming forth. The other connections that I wish to draw are connections that relate to what I would describe as a great drama, which has been partially mentioned upon this show in the past, and that is the roles that aspects of those three great beings have played in the history of humanity. And those beings I refer to are Allura, as I mentioned, her counterpart in the cosmos in Archangel Sandalphon, and that being known as Marietta that I mentioned, who was the being that sent forth Yeshua and also Horus. And as has been the case every time when there has been an attempt at a golden age, all three of those individuals have had aspects present upon the planet. There is an agreement that whenever a major aspect of Marietta comes to the planet, as Horus was, and indeed as Yeshua was, the parents of that individual are an aspect of Allura as the mother and an aspect of Sandalphon as the father. And so, yes, I was an aspect of Allura, as I mentioned. Osiris was an aspect of Sandalphon, and Horus was an aspect of Marietta. And so we had the same thing played out in Yeshua's time. Mother Mary is an aspect of Allura. Her husband, Joseph ben Jacob, was an aspect of Sandalphon, and Yeshua was an aspect of Marietta. And the slight variation upon this theme, which was played out in that particular lifetime, is that Mary Magdalene, who, as I mentioned, was also an aspect of Allura, her parents were also aspects of Allura and Sandalphon. And so it is these connections, this play behind the play, which was part of what I was involved in and Mary Magdalene was involved in, that plays such an important part in the history of this planet, a history that is not yet understood. And so we both wanted to come forward and to discuss this in our own particular way. And so this is all I wish to say at this point, and I ask that, Richard, you pass the baton across to Carolyn.
I just caught it, Isis. Thank you. And so, my dear great lady, what would you have me do for you at this moment? She's asking that I describe her. But before I describe her, she wants me to speak of Atlantis when she was here. And what would you like for me to say, Isis? She said that, of course, I would have been in another body, but I had worked with Isis. And the two of us acted as teachers. And she had this very close connection to Sirius. She wants me to tell you how the spaceships came from Sirius to Atlantis. There was a pyramid there that, well, the general shape of it was a pyramid, but the top was missing. And that was the floor of a hydraulic floor where the spaceships would land and they would move inside of the pyramid. and they would confer with her in person. Though she also had a headpiece that she could confer with them, you might say, they being in Sirius and she being in Atlantis. And in telling you this, she wants you to know that she has been connected to and assigned to this planet from a very early age. And now she wants me to describe her. I would call Isis stately. Bit on the thin side, though it's very attractive to her. She carries this very well. And there is a sense of power about her, as Richard mentions, but there is this gentle side of her, this mother aspect that you will find in all of the aspects that came forth from Allura, because it is a role that they saw with the planet and with humanity. And so when you work with any of the great, I'd like to call them mother goddesses, they are very much concerned about you and about the planet. There is a part of this that they see as their responsibility. And so they look after humanity as humanity being their children, and they being and playing the role of the mother. There's many beings on the other side who will help individuals in times of distress, in times of indecision, in times of fear. And there are many gifts that advanced beings can give you. They can teach you things that you want to know about. But for the sheer sake of looking for compassion, looking for a sense of belonging and being cared for, a sense of a companion in a very close manner, any of the mother goddesses, and there are many of them, are willing, able, and waiting for humanity to come to them and ask for their assistance. And in these, for what would be for some, very troubled times, Isis wishes to bring forth that message that she is there for each and every one of you. And if you suffer, she says, come to me. If you need a special help in some way, come to me. I am here for you, and I don't always give an answer as to what to do, but I give the method so that you can find the way to do it yourself. I am part of self-empowerment. I want all of my children to be self-empowered, because that is the change that is coming about in the near future, where you will not be told that you are smaller than you are, but rather you are much larger than you think you are. You hold the particles of the Supreme Being that we call All There Is, or Prime Creator. You hold their particles, and you came here for a specific mission because it was thought that your soul was great enough to succeed in that mission. Come to me if you're confused, and I will show you the way. And so what Isis is telling me now, before we work with Mary Magdalene, to take a few questions, because there are people on the line, and we will do that, my dear. I'm going to ask Maria from California on line one. if she has a question. Maria. Yoo-hoo.
Hello?
Hello, Maria.
Oh, my goodness. Hello?
What can we do for you? Hello, what can we do for you?
I am muted. Hello?
Hello, Maria. Please speak up and tell us what you want to know from Isis.
Hello?
I've answered this several times. Are you not hearing me? I think we need to go to the next person. Be kind enough to put Kenneth from California on line two, please.
Hello?
Hello, Kenneth. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, how are you guys doing? Glad you guys make it.
We're glad you're here. What would you like for us to ask of Isis?
Yes, I have actually two questions. One is a personal question, if it's okay to ask for a little advice for a healing from Isis. Basically, I have some skin issues on both of my ears. It gets really dry and that, and I try lots of treatments, but it never really cured permanently, and I was wondering if Isis have any information for me.
Richard, I'm going to have you ask Isis about this question, and I'll ask her about the next one, please.
Okay. This is a condition which reflects the nervousness that you have carried in this life. It is a reflection of the energies that were the prime energies that you came into this life to clear from past lives. And if you are willing to release the energies of fear and of self-doubt from this life using the tools which I believe Richard has shared with you, then you should see this condition dissipate. And I will mention that when rejuvenation comes forth, which is not long in your future, if you choose to participate in that process, you will see this condition, should it remain to any degree, completely disappear as the perfected form of the physical human body comes forth for you, as it will for all others who experience the rejuvenation command and have a belief that it can work for them. And so release these energies from your life, and that condition should dissipate. And so it is.
Thank you, Isis. And your next question?
Yes, my next question is, I have been reading a lot that there are certain gifted people are actually be able to do DNA activation, such as Shakia Rose. It's S-H-E-K-I-N-A.
Mm-hmm.
And is it true that she also one of the gifted from Isis, from the...
Now, I got the name of Miss Rose, but what was she doing with DNA? I kind of missed that.
Okay. Shakia Rose was being gifted, that's able to use a sound healing frequency, which is 528 hertz, that do DNA activations. And I was wondering if that's true and whether if she worked directly with Isis.
Okay, you want to know if she worked directly with Isis and if the gift that she has is accurate. And this is what Isis is saying. Isis is saying that Miss Rose has worked with me through many lifetimes. Our first time that we worked together was in Atlantis. And you might say she has been a very close disciple of mine. We've worked with each other carrying different names. through the centuries, but basically the work has been the same until this lifetime. This lifetime, the work that we have done together has been a little different, as the timing and the times is very different. And where her voice does carry to the level that you speak of, the result is not always the same with every individual, as what the individual brings to, you might say, the partnership has a bearing upon the result. And the results are different because of negativity that an individual might be carrying from many lifetimes in the past and the path that they walk on this lifetime. And so I'm answering your question partially. I realize that in the sense that Miss Rose has the gifts, but whether they are applied or received evenly by every individual, that is determined by the soul itself. So, you got your answer.
Yes.
Jenny?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, we'd like to go to Junie from West Coast, who is on line 3. Junie?
Hi, I'm so glad you made it tonight.
Well, thank you, Junie. Glad you made it, too.
Oh, I was excitedly waiting to be sure you made it. I'm glad,
well,
Carolyn.
We're here, sweetheart. And what can we do for you, question-wise?
Yes, I want to really thank Isis and Mary Magdalene for coming tonight. They're my beloved ladies, as they must know. And my question is, what can we do as women who are aware that the divine feminine is returning? Which aspects of the feminine would be most useful for us to embody? Because it goes from the maiden to the mother to the wise one kind of energies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talked about a different traits tonight, and I just wonder if there's something we as women who are aware that the feminine's returning.
Well, I know you're very interested in this topic, Junie. What approach have you taken individually so far?
The self-empowerment's the most important for me at this point. My quest is to really feel my divinity.
And what part of a woman's lifetime do you think that she particularly grows quickly in the self-empowerment area?
I don't know. It's new to me. I'm exploring it.
No, I don't think it's new to you at all. It has to show some sort of an experience, doesn't it? If you're going to be self-empowered, in a sense, don't you have to have some experience of life to understand what we're talking about here?
Yes, yeah.
So that means that as the child or perhaps the adolescent, the young maiden, they might not have enough experience to completely become self-empowered. It's a learning process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I would suspect it would be something a little beyond that. And I ask you that, Junie, because I think it's important for us to think, for us to use our mental powers and discernment, and then go to the Masters. So, Richard, if you would be kind enough to ask Isis which part of the female, which we say mystique or age or period, does one gain in self-empowerment? And I think Isis is going to come up with a real interesting answer on this one.
It is important to recognize that all expressions of the various ages, if you like, of a woman are important, and indeed in a sense they are all always present within any individual. Yes, as one matures, you might say, the degree to which the aspect of the mother, the mature woman, and indeed the crone become more activated. And you could say they move towards the front and center of the individual's life. However, all of the aspects are present, and indeed, perhaps the most important aspect of this is that as a mature woman, it is very important that you also acknowledge and take care of and heal your child self, your adolescent self, and so on. So these aspects are fully present, fully mature within you. And so I would say, in a sense, the most important place to stand is as the mature woman, where you have command of all of the aspects. But it is important to acknowledge that you indeed need to have command of all of the aspects if you are going to be a fully expressed, fully flexible, playful, joyful, mature, spontaneous woman with great wisdom on tap.
Thank you, Isis. What a beautiful answer, Junie. We're so glad you asked it. Thank you for calling in, dear.
Thank you. Blessings.
Blessings to you. And so the next one we wish to bring to the fore is Mary Magdalene. And Richard, would you be kind enough to take Mary Magdalene's message?
I will do that. And in the tradition of this, let me describe her energy. Again, this beautiful, almost dancing feminine energy. There is a lightness, almost a skipping, dancing energy to her, and yet also great power, different in a sense from Isis, but powerful nonetheless. Interestingly, if one returned to the discussion we were having about, that Junie raised about the different aspects of the expression of the feminine, I would describe Isis as displaying the energy of the mature woman, whereas in a sense Mary Magdalene's energy is more of the, I don't know, is mature maiden a little off the mark? say in her early 20s, maybe. A bit more of that kind of energy. A light dancing kind of energy. Beautiful, beautiful energy. And so let us see what Mary Magdalene wishes to say. I also wish to bring forth my part of the conversation that Isis raised, and I will confirm that there was in my time, just as there was in the time of Isis, this interplay, this dance of those three great beings of Ellora, Sandalphon, and Marietta. And as Isis described, both Yeshua and I had in common mothers who were aspects of Ellora and fathers who were aspects of Archangel Sandalphon. And there was a key reason for this, and it was, in a sense, unique to that time, because part of the plan for that mission, and I believe Yeshua has mentioned this in the past, part of our mission was to bring forth changes in the DNA of humanity, corrections, if you will, through our children, because the DNA of humanity had been interfered with by the Anunnaki, as you may or may not be aware. And so it was important to bring that refreshment, if you will, of the DNA forth. And in order to do this, it required both of us to have parents who were aspects of those great beings. What is not recognized by humanity for the most part today is that the makeup of the DNA of an individual is not simply that which comes forth from the individual's parents. That is, the DNA which comes through the hereditary line. Rather, there are aspects of the DNA which come forth from the soul monad. And so when you had this combination in place where my parents were aspects of Ellora and of Sandalphon, as were Yeshua's, so you had this intensification process of both the power coming from those monads into the DNA of our parents and then into us. And indeed, that still occurs. Those aspects that come forth from these beings carry greater power, in a sense. They carry abilities within the DNA, which is not perhaps recognized, that has come forth from the soul monad. And indeed, this applies to all individuals. And so I will mention that part of what occurred, particularly in the early times after Yeshua's and my time upon the planet, was that there were aspects of both Sandalphon and Ellora that returned to the planet, that incarnated, and they married into the early phase of that bloodline, if you will, to reinforce that process, that correction process that began, you could say, with Yeshua's and my children, but indeed actually with our parents. And so this is a unique aspect of this story that I wanted to bring forth, a unique aspect of the drama, if you will, that had not been played out in any other lifetime, where this trio of great souls, if you will, had sent forth aspects in the manner that we were describing. And those of you who've been listening to this show will be aware that, for example, in the time of Akhenaten, it was another attempt to do this. And in that case, Akhenaten was an aspect of Sandalphon. One of his wives was an aspect of Ellora. And their child in Tutankhamun was an aspect of Marietta. And so this drama, if you will, has been played out many, many times upon the planet, but this information has never been made public or reinforced to any great degree. And so this is the reason that Isis and I wished to come forth together tonight to really bring forth this story. Yes, it's been mentioned in the past, but it's time for humanity to begin to understand this drama, if you will, that's been played out in the background, this great powerful influence of the light that has been at work throughout the history of humanity. There are some who have recognized that there's been great interference by the dark upon this planet, and indeed that is absolutely true. And I bring to mind the work of David Icke, where he has publicized this to a great degree. However, I would mention that one thing that David has missed in his work is this role of the light that has come forth so powerfully over time. Many of the secret societies were founded by beings of the light to bring forth and to protect great secrets for humanity. And so there has been this balancing aspect of the light at work upon the planet, even though it has not been recognized in, for example, the work of David Icke. And so I mention this to you so that you can begin to bring some balance, and in a sense it brings a little hope to this very challenging time that exists upon your planet, which seems so greatly dominated by the dark. But let me tell you, the force of the light is about to come forth in a manner that will astound all of humanity. And I, for one, look forward to this extraordinary unfolding that has been so long planned. And so I ask, Richard, that you pass me across to Carolyn.
Yes, dear Mary Magdalene, dear sweet Rose, tell me what you wish to for me to express to humanity in your name. I indicated in my discussion with Richard how spirit, even though the dark had played its role here on this planet, the spirit of the light has had its hand in making certain that the train didn't go off the track, so to speak. All of this was planned and understood by these three individuals, these three souls that we discussed. They knew ahead of time the history of this planet. And it might seem difficult for you to grasp this, that anyone could understand the course of a planet, the course of its people, and what would come forth, and what the end would be. But we were able to do this because we looked upon the planet and her people in the now, where past, present, and future were there, and we simply followed a strand until we came to all of the potential possibilities, and then followed the strand until it got to the point of the probabilities. And so, in a sense, that moves through past, present, and future. And we saw the future, we were part of the future before we came. And that is why we can say these things, because we have been there and we have viewed it. This happens sometimes with you in the sense that you feel deja vu. You're taking a little visit back in time to one of your previous lifetimes because something at present reminded you of it. And so to a certain extent, we all pass through these different moments of possibilities and probabilities and get closer to the act itself, and we see the ultimate outcome. And that is why I say with confidence, all of you who feel weary, who feel there is no end to this confusion, understand it is the end of a plan. That is all. The culmination of the plan is the glory of what I speak of, and it is there upon your doorstep. I would like to say so much more about this, but we are getting very close to the end of the show, and we would like to bring in some people who have patiently been waiting online. And so there is Ingrid on line one. Ingrid? Ingrid, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Would you give your question to Mary Magdalene, please?
Oh, sure. About 10 years ago, I had this body work that pushed me over the edge in severe depression and felt like a post-traumatic stress disorder. I felt like Humpty Dumpty put together with Scotch tape. And over the years, I've been feeling better and better, but I'm still not quite myself. And I was wondering what I could do to heal myself, especially my heart.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by body work. What does that mean?
I had a type of body work done to me that I thought was going to help heal me, and instead it didn't. It put me into severe depression.
Mm.
It blasted
Richard,
through
see,
all my
if, if Mary Magdalene has enough information to give an answer to this.
Hmm. She says she does.
Okay. Would you give her the answer, please?
Yes, I'm just...
You're just connecting. I got it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You are one that has come forth to bring forth the karmic clearing and rejuvenation commands, and it might seem strange to you, but the reason you chose to experience that seemingly destructive bodywork was to have you question your reality, to look more deeply at who and what you are, to question all that was happening in your life, to create instability in a sense. And so, as with so many such events, we choose these events ahead of time, although we don't recognize we have done this, and so we don't necessarily look within for the answers. We often blame others. We feel victims for what has happened. We, for example, blame the healer for not doing what was agreed, yet in truth, that healer did exactly what was agreed. The outcome was something that you had chosen before you came into this life. And so I mention this to you because it's important for you to understand that at some point you need to connect more closely with these two. You may choose to do it through a soul healing session, or you may choose to wait until the follow-up work begins. I, for one, would recommend that you undertake a soul healing if you are able, because it will put a great deal of understanding in place for you. And it will release the last of the issues which you carry from that piece of work. And so that, dear one, is my suggestion to you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, there's your, really there's your answer, Ingrid. And hang up, dear, and I will ask Richard to... we only have 5 minutes, Richard. Give a little insight so Ingrid knows what Isis, I mean, what Mother Mary, what Mary Magdalene was talking, I'll get it straight, what Mary Magdalene was talking, speaking of.
Yes, we have been conducting for some time healing sessions that we call soul healings, and you can find details of these on a page on the MetatronMinutes.com website. And it is work where we undertake the karmic clearing, which is one of the steps for preparation for ascension, and also a great deal of other work to really have you understand the journey that you've walked in many ways through this life. And she is suggesting, if you are able and wish to participate in one of those sessions.
Thank you, Richard. We only have 4 minutes, and so we're sorry. We apologize to those who are waiting, who have been patiently waiting online, but we're not able to take your question right now. And Richard, we have 3 minutes. Would you like to give some insight into the right brain magic?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. I mean, in essence, the skills and abilities that you see Carolyn and I display on these calls are really something that you can all do. It's not something that's unique to us. We, for a long time, humanity has been persuaded that we have far less ability, far less capability, gifts, if you will, than we actually do. And so we have allowed ourselves to be shut down inside this box. And one of those skills, if you will, is the ability to communicate with other forms of consciousness. And this can take many forms, not just beings on the other side, as you see or here, Carolyn and I working with, but also anything in your environment. The capabilities of the consciousness of your physical body, for example, are truly amazing. Your ability to communicate with crystals or a tree or animals. I was out today doing a little weed spraying this evening, actually, and as I was walking back to the house, there was a hare running by nearby where I was. I haven't shared this with you, Carolyn, but and so I stopped and allowed it to move along in the direction it was going, and it was a bit nervous coming towards me because where it wanted to go through a gap in the trees, it needed to come relatively close to me. So I just stopped and I began to talk to the hare, and it communicated back to me. And so it gained in confidence, and it hopped towards me and went through the gap and went where it was going. And it was just a beautiful experience to connect with that hare in that way and to give it the confidence to go where it otherwise would not have gone. And so these kind of things can be part of your life, part of the magic of life. And so we teach this work in the Right Brain, this ability in the Right Brain Magic work that we do, and we have a website for that work called rightbrainmagic.com. And if you're interested in looking at that further, visit that website and read some of the stories of others, listen to the experiences of others that are recorded there working with some of these skills and abilities.
Thank you so much, Richard. Appreciate you discussing that. We have 1 minute. I would like to thank all of our listeners who are so loyal, who come every week, who support us in so many different ways. And I am so aware of you and your energies out there and your support. And I love you. And I would say good night for now. Richard, you got a quick moment? Quick.
A quick moment. Well, I just would just echo your words, Carolyn. I think you know, the way that people have connected with the work that we're doing is just a great joy to witness, and I hope that all of you in some manner gain from what we seek to bring forth through these radio shows, and thank you all that come and join us either directly through these shows or where the recordings are held on the 2012countdown.com website. So thank you all.
Good night for now. See you next week.
Good night.